Well, good morning. It's so good to see you here at Calvary Baptist Church this morning. If you're glad to be here this morning, say amen. Amen. I am so glad to be here. I'm so glad to be able to worship the Lord with each and every one of you this morning. And I hope that through the course of our service here this morning, that each and every one of us would connect with God in a really deep and powerful way. If you all will stand with me, we're going to go ahead and start off our singing this morning with Each One, Reach One. We'll sing it through two times.
Each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we often need one. We can lead one to the Savior.
Standing on the higher ground this morning, the ground, the solid rock of Christ. We're going to sing about that here this morning, higher ground. A prayer this morning. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we are so incredibly grateful for the freedom that we have to come and meet in your house here today. Lord, so many countries around the world, people are losing their lives because of their faith in you. And Lord, especially this morning, as I think about what has happened in places like Afghanistan, where these wicked people have taken over the country and started slaughtering people for their faith. Lord, it just makes me so incredibly grateful to be in a country where we can come and we can meet you freely. And Lord, this morning, as we come to this place to worship you, to praise you, to honor and glorify you, we pray that you would bind our hearts together with one singular focus here today. And may that focus be to worship and praise you. Lord, we come for many number of reasons. Some may come just to check it off their list. But Lord, today I pray that you would bind our hearts in Christ-likeness and in your Spirit. We ask all of these things in your precious and most holy name. Amen. You may be seated for our next song. We're going to sing about following on. Follow on, following Jesus with all that we have. Follow on. Stand for this last song here this morning. Be thou exalted. That is what we want to do here today. We want our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be exalted in all that we do, all that we say, all that we think, and especially all that we sing. Be thou exalted.
Be thou exalted. Saints in their anthems of rapture adore. Mine be the glory forever. Amen.
And before we sing that last verse, all children ages 4 years old up through sixth grade, you are dismissed to head back over to the other building for Children's Church. All workers head that way as well as we continue to sing on that last verse.
Be thou exalted, O Spirit eternal, dwell with our hearts, keep us holy within, feed us each day with thy heavenly manna, healer of wounded hearts, thy praises we sing. Be thou exalted by seraphs and angels, be thou exalted with harp and with song, saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee, thine be the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Then it is good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verse 12 through verse number 27 this morning. Last week, I began a series of messages with you entitled, Doing Church Together. Doing Church Together. And our first message was on doing church together in worship. And you received a booklet this morning as you came in about learning about His name. Yeah, I want to challenge you then as an attender here at this church to take time daily to read one of those devotionals, learn who God is, and as you learn who God is, it'll help you in your prayer life. It then will also help you in your worship life because worship is all about God. And we want to lift Him up. We want to magnify Him. And so I want to encourage you during this next 30 days to spend time daily just thinking about who God is. The Bible teaches us that we ought to glory in one thing. We ought to glory that we understand and know God. And so I want to encourage you to just do a deep dive in knowing who God is. So notice with me now this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse number 12. The Bible says, For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, we'll just pause there. We'll look at the rest of it here in just a moment. But I want us to pray together. Father, I thank You this morning for the power of Your Word. Thank You for the church. And when we think about the church, we don't think about the building. We think about the people, for Jesus Christ died and gave Himself for the church. He died and gave Himself for people. And I thank You that He was that sacrifice. You raised Him from the dead, and one day He's coming again. But help us to have a real love for the church. And help us to understand the importance of the church in our individual lives, in our family life, and that we would really live for the church. And we thank You again for what it means and what it stands for. So challenge our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
In my darkness, Jesus found me, touched my eyes and made me see. Broke sin's chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. My Lord divine, that made Him stoop to save a soul like mine, through all my days and then in heaven above.
silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. Oh, amazing truth to ponder. He whom angel hosts attend, Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder. He became the sinner's friend. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in glorious love and
amen. What a glorious love it is, and thank the Lord for it this morning. One of the childhood memories I have is going to Decoration Day around Memorial Day to a Baptist church in Tennessee. Any of you familiar with Decoration Days? I've often wondered why they called them that, but it didn't take me too long to realize why they called them that. But this church had a cemetery attached to it, and people would go to the church service and then have a dinner on the grounds, and then after that they would go to the plot of their loved ones, wherever they were located in that cemetery, and they would decorate the grave. I remember the church and the preacher well. And the preacher I remember well because he wasn't your typical preacher, all right? I mean, you had a hard time, if you would, sleeping under this kind of preacher. He was one of those wind-sucking preachers, and his veins would pop out, and he was just really boisterous. He was really into the message, if you would, and that just stood out to me. I thought, wow, I don't know if I would have enough breath. It's like, breathe, man, breathe. And so somewhere along the line, he would, but that really stood out to me. And I have a great memory of that. And then I have memories of good preachers that I sat under along the way, evangelists that would come in through the years. And I remember how church life was just really, it was just part of my DNA. My parents really made sure we were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Even when I got of age where I could get my license and drive, and my Dad said, you know, Mom and I are just tired tonight, which was rare if this would happen, but we're just not going to go tonight. I said, Dad, can I have the keys? Because I want to go. I just love being in church. It's just, like I said, I wanted to be there for a myriad of reasons. One, I love the preaching. Two, I love the fellowship before and after church. I just loved everything about church. I love the church. And the Bible says to us in Ephesians 5:25 that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. One preacher wrote this, "Oh, give me a church where folks in the lurch are encouraged, then healed from above, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the truth is modeled in love." God doesn't give people to build churches. He gives churches to build people. God can build the church with you or without me. But we need the local church to build our lives. Almost every time in the Bible the word church is used, it refers to a local, visible congregation. Some people use the terminology the universal church. There is no such thing as found in the Bible. The Bible terminology is the body of Christ. For as he says here in verse number 12 and verse number 13, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That is the body of Christ. When we got saved, we were added to the body of Christ, not to some universal church, if you would. But you do find in the New Testament scriptures many local churches. And almost every time the word church is mentioned, it is used in reference to a local, visible congregation. And the New Testament assumes membership in a local church. In fact, membership in a local Bible-believing church is vital. I underscore that word, vital, to your spiritual growth. You need this point of connection. John Stott said, if the church is central to God's purpose as seen in both history and the gospel, it must also be central to our lives. How can we take lightly what God takes so seriously? How dare we push to the circumference what God has placed at the center? A lot of truth in that statement. Now, I want you to think with me, as we're still in the introduction, I want you to think with me about some benefits of belonging to a church. One, I want you to think that there is the physical benefit of belonging to the church. Now, don't take my word for it. There was, according to a study from Indiana's Purdue University, published in the Journal for the Scientific Study of Religion, people who join a church, attend regularly, and get involved get sick much less often than those who don't. In fact, it was found that non-church members who never attended the church or participated were more than twice as likely to report health problems as those who were members. Hey, I tell you, if that was the only benefit, I'm joining. I'm going to be a part of. I'm going to belong, because I don't know about you. I don't like being sick. I want to be as healthy as I can be. And again, there is some physical benefits of belonging to a local church. There's also the benefit of emotional well-being. Again, this is also proven by doctors who deal with patients. And they find that those who are actively involved in a church setting and are faithful to that church setting are more emotionally stable, are more joyful in their life, because they are connected, if you would, to a local church family. So there's the emotional benefit of belonging to a church. Then there is the spiritual benefit of belonging to a church. I think about of at least three. I think one, there is the identity. Church membership identifies you as a believer. So, well, that's, are you sure about that? Well, I'm pretty sure about this. In Acts chapter 2, it says that the people that were saved, that the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. They were saved, they were baptized, they were added to the church, a local assembly. You read in your Bibles, the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, all of those were written to the church at Galatia, the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, and so forth. Those were people that were saved, baptized, added to the church. So there is identity, there is maturity that can take place within the confines of a local church. For instance, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, in fact, you're not too far from it, just go forward a couple of books, Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13 says this, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, that is a mature man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So when the church gathers, one of these reasons is for spiritual maturity, that you would grow up in the Lord. And so he says that here to us. Then look at verse number 12 of the same chapter, chapter 4 of Ephesians, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So what is he saying? He's saying that God has given to the church pastors to equip the people to do what? to do the work of the ministry. The ministry, the church, is never about a one-man show, if I could use it that way. It's to be a local body of believers working together, striving together for the advancement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that there, when you yoke up with the church, then doing so, there's physical benefits, there's emotional benefits, then there are spiritual benefits. And because membership matters, and we want every member to matter, we all enter the same way. Now, listen to me carefully. There are those who may be thinking about membership at Calvary Baptist Church. And when I say that we all enter the same way, we do. For instance, in order to be a member of Calvary Baptist Church, you must profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You must know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that you are on your way to heaven, that there has been a life change that has taken place in your life. Acts chapter 2 talks about this. They were saved, then they were added. And then they must be baptized by immersion in obedience to the New Testament and as a symbol of your faith. Baptism does not save. Lord willing, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a baptism. We're going to baptize a couple of our young people who have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But they get saved, and then they get baptized. But many of you have had the privilege of baptizing. Not 1 ounce of water in that baptistry washed away any of your sin. You went in as a sinner, you came out as a sinner, if you would, but yet you are making a statement of faith that says, I have put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am now going to be a follower of Him. And so one is a person is saved. Two, they're baptized. If you've already been baptized by immersion before you come to this church from another church, then baptism is not necessary. Again, you only need to be baptized one time. But we find that those are two ways. And the third way is this. And I realize you don't find this anywhere in the Bible. You only find that people were saved and baptized and added. But a few years ago, we added one more step to membership here in our church, and that is that you need to go through a membership class. Now, it's not a long, drawn-out class. It's a couple-hour kind of a class, but you go through that class. Why? So that you know what we believe as a church. You know what our mission statement is. You find out places where you can be involved and so forth. Those three ways, people come into the membership of Calvary Baptist Church. And so I'm thankful for each and every person that has taken those steps along the way. Now, having said that then, in this passage of Scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we do learn why every member matters. Would you notice with me at least four reasons why every member matters? First of all, we are all necessary parts of the whole. Look, if you would, now again, verse number 12. For as the body is what, church? Speak to me. For the body is what? One. And hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be made bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So we don't have just one member of Calvary Baptist Church. We have many members. Now, look, if you would, at verse number 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we are all necessary parts of the whole. Every member is necessary. He says this in this very passage. Look at verse number 22 where he says, nay, or no, much more those members of the body which we seem to be more feeble are what? They're necessary. So every member is a necessary part of the whole. The piano player is not more important than the song director, and the song director is not more important than the Sunday school teacher. All are necessary, vital parts of the local church. Every member is necessary. Every member is vital to the whole. Now, notice then in the same passage that we notice the second point, that we are different, but we work together. Look now at verse number 15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Look at verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So think of, first of all, if you would, think of your own personal body. Can you imagine waking up this morning and your hand says, I'm not going to work. Or your foot says, hey, I'm not going to work. Or your eyes say, I'm not going to work. Or your ears say, I'm not going to work. No, they all are important, vital to the body that God has given to you. So he talks about, if you would, the physical body. And he says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. No, he says, is it therefore not of the body? I mean, the ear is important. Every part of the body is important, but they're different. You haven't seen your ear walk, have you? It does what? It hears. That's what it was designed for. Have you seen your foot chew food? Be strange, wouldn't it? That's not what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to help you walk. And your eye, how important your eyes are to your body. Every member is different in your physical body. Likewise, every member within the body, within a local church, they are different. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, as I look over this audience this morning, I see different colors. I see different hairdos or lack thereof. I mean, I see all kinds of people out here who have different likes and dislikes, strengths and weaknesses, but all of us are different, but we are designed. This is what Paul is driving at when he says that those members that think they aren't necessary, they are necessary. It used to be, not that long ago, in the medical field, that they kind of took out your appendix like it was no big deal. But now doctors have learned, hold it, we really need to be really, really sure before we take somebody's appendix out, because they have found great benefit physically to having your appendix. Now, you don't see your appendix, but I'll guarantee you, if you've ever had appendicitis, you will know that you have appendix. You know how much that can hurt, but it is necessary. It is vital. A few years ago, I had to have my gallbladder out. I wish I didn't have to have had that done, because it's vital to our wealth. But I was at a place where it was functioning 30% or less, and it was not going to improve. It was only going to get worse. So I had to have it out. But there was great benefit, if you would, of having that gallbladder. For instance, before gallbladder, I would almost every day wake up and have me a bowl of cereal. But now it is very, very occasionally that I will have a bowl of cereal. Why? Because of the milk. My body now, because I have the absence of a gallbladder, can't break down that dairy product as it once did. Now, I've talked to other people who have had their gallbladder out. That's not a problem for them. But for me, it is. And so while I may think about that little old organ inside my body, which I cannot see, and may think, well, it's really not that necessary. Yes, it is. It is very necessary. So those members in Calvary Baptist Church are very necessary. When we don't function or do our job, the whole body does not function well. And it is my prayer today that you would not just be an attender of Calvary Baptist Church, but that you would become a participant in Calvary Baptist Church, that you would just not come in, hear the sermon, go home, come back next Sunday, do it all over again. I'll praise God that you do that, but listen, you will get much more out of church life if you will say, what can I do? Where can I plug in? And we'll look at this maybe next week where God has gifted the body. There's people in this church family that have the gift of mercy. Some have the gift of giving. Some have the gift of teaching. And when we do not function or do our job and say, here's what I can do within this local church, then here's who suffers. The church as a whole suffers because then only a few people are doing many tasks and wearing many hats when other people say, hey, I'm going to step up. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to plug in. I don't want to just attend. I want to plug in because the greatest joy comes in doing. Jesus says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And the Bible teaches us, if we therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, as long as you are drawing breath, and the very fact that you're here says, I can do something. I can be someone. I can do something. And this is me, this is how I'm wired, but I'll tell you what, I couldn't just attend church and just sit there, listen to the sermon, shake hands with a few people, go home and do it all over next Sunday. I couldn't do that. That's not me. Why? Because one, that's not how God designed it. God designed that every person use their gifts, use their talents that they have and say, I'm plugging in. I'm going to do work. I'm going to do something within this local church, because when we work together, we can see much accomplished for the glory of the Lord. Yesterday, we had a church work day. How many of you were present? No, don't raise your hand. But we had a good time working together. Because you see, when more people are involved, the more the work can be done, the more people can be reached. It amazes me sometimes. People will say, man, Pastor, why isn't our church growing? Why aren't we really moving forward? And I tell you, and I say this in love, but I sometimes want to turn the question around and say, but what are you doing to help make it grow? And again, I'm not judging. I'm not trying to pour guilt on. I'm just saying it takes us all working together to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in this community and beyond. It can't just be the pastor and the assistant pastor. It has to be us saying, hey, I got a part. I can do something. I can work in the nursery. I can work in helping out with coming alongside Pastor Cody and helping out with hosting a snack for the teenagers. I can do something in this church. I can be part of the greeter team. I can work in the kitchen. There is something for you to do. And again, you can live the rest of your life and just keep coming and hear the sermon, go home, and I'll love you and pray for you and all of that. But I'm going to tell you, if you will plug in, you'll get some great benefit. And so will the church. Because then the load is lessened. The church coming together, working together. It is amazing to me. Again, I don't want to make this about politics, but just this for a moment. It's amazing to me how well-oiled the machine can get out there in the world of politics. They can get things together real quick, and man, they got people, they got volunteers, But when a pastor stands up and says, hey, we need help. You don't know how busy I am, preacher. You don't know how overworked I am. Please understand something. It wasn't that many years ago. I knew what it was like when I worked for my dad to work 60, 70 hour weeks. And guess where I was on a Wednesday night? I was dead dog tired in 80, 90 degree weather, hotter even times up on a roof, and I was found in church even if I was out of town. I'm not asking you to applaud that. All I'm simply saying is that's how important church is to me. That's how important it is. If my Savior cared enough to die for me, then my church is good enough for me to live for. Amen? It's good enough for you to live for. It really is. And when, yes, we're different people, but Paul says we got to work together. Because if we're going to reach more people for Christ, it takes not just a few, it takes all of us working together. Then he drives home a third point. And he does this more so in chapter 13, but he says this, that every member matters because we are bound by love for one another. Now, in chapter 13, he talks again about charity and love. And by the way, this is what I am studying with the church on Wednesday nights, building better relationships. How do we do that? We learn about it here in chapter 13. But in chapter 13, he says, you know, you can talk big and so forth, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. And that's what he says in those first three verses. Then he describes love in verse 4 and following. And he says, and the greatest of these in verse 13 is love. So when it comes to the church on a local church level, by love we serve one another. We love the unlovable. We love the unlovable. I was thinking about this, church. Do you know that people come to churches not in neat little packages? They come with heartbreak. They come with broken homes. They come from broken marriages. They come from a situation where they just heard you no longer have a job. They come sometime tattooed from ear to foot. They come sometimes, guys with long hair and ponytails. But every one of them is worth and has worth because Jesus Christ died for them. And if Calvary Baptist Church ever gets to the place where we become snooty and look down upon people like that, may I say we ought to close our doors and never open up again. Because the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. They don't come in pretty little packages. They might have kids that are rowdy. They might have kids that are a little rambunctious in the church service. So what? So what? I'm glad they're here rather than sitting home. Right? We're glad they're here. And we love them, and we help them mature and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by love, we serve in the church, not just when everyone is joining in, but also when there might just be a few people joining in, where we are saying, by love, I'm doing this. Jesus taught us, by this all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. But then notice this. Paul then drives home this point. Every member matters because we are to be a functioning member. Look at verse 12 through verse 27. He drives all of that home, where he talks again about body parts are to function, the foot, the hand, the ear, the eye, the nose. Every church that I know of, ours included, although I've often wondered about this, why we have it, But we'll have what is called an inactive church membership. But really, that's an oxymoron. Every member is to be active. Every member has a function. Those that are watching by Facebook right now, some of them are senior saints who, for physical reasons, cannot be here. And let me just say a word to those that are watching by Facebook and you find yourself in that situation, you still have value to Calvary Baptist Church. You may say, how? You can pray. You can pray, and prayer is so important and so vital to a local church. So I'm asking you today to ask yourself, where am I plugging in? How can I best serve in Calvary Baptist Church? God has designed that you be a functioning church member. The missionary Jim Elliott said, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Membership in a local church is biblical and vital to your spiritual growth. It's been a long time since I made this statement, but I make it now. Stop dating the church. I've met a few couples in life. They've been dating 6, 7, 8 years. I'm thinking, man, what's wrong with you? Don't you got this figured out yet? You love her? You love him? I do, I shall, I will. Let's get married. Likewise, I say the same this morning. Stop dating the church. Plug in. Say, this is where I'm going to plant my feet. This is where I'm going to plant my feet, and I'm going to serve. I'm going to use the gifts and the talents that God has given me. I'm going to plug in. I'm going to plug in and serve the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, when you do, those benefits I mentioned to you earlier are there, but there's also a joy in serving. Jesus said this in the book of Acts, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Many times that verse is used to talk about giving, you know, giving of our money. But I also believe it has this connotation, that when I plug into a local church and I give, I serve, I find out where I can. And by the way, I'm just not preaching this message this morning. We're going to put tools in your hands to help you. Where can I plug in at Calvary Baptist Church? But to say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to plug in. Are you a functioning church member? The Bible says in Ephesians, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, God did not save me to have me sit in a church building. God saved me to serve. I'll let him design how that looks, but I am designed to serve, to plug in. And when this happens, a joy can come in your life. Because now you can begin to look at church not about me. Ultimately, it's all about him. But now you can begin to say, hey, I want to help so-and-so through my gifts and my talents that the Lord has given me. And so I want to encourage you today with this thought. Every member matters. Based on this text, every part of your physical body matters. Every part of it. Remember many years ago, being in my country home that I was growing up in, and outside of Elite, Ohio, my dad was remodeling a portion of our house. I was sitting in the living room watching television with my siblings. The next thing I hear, my dad coming out of the kitchen area just screaming bloody murder. Well, truly, there was blood. he had not guarded himself too well. He had his hand under a piece of wood and zip, zip, cut off the two fingers here and notched the other one right there. And he just come out just screaming. Think I would have too. I might have even fainted for all I know. He was in such shock. He was telling me about this just the other day. He says, yeah, I had to tell your mom, you know, all times you can drive fast right now. Get me to the hospital. Get push it. Let's go. And it wasn't until he got to the hospital, they got him onto a hospital bed, that's when he finally did. He passed out. Well, if you met my dad today and shook his hand, you would shake a hand that has those two fingers missing. They're gone. I'll guarantee you that hand can't function like the other hand. Oh, he's still thankful he has the other fingers and so forth, but because those two fingers are missing, he doesn't have the grip that you would need. Because you see, those two fingers were necessary. Every member is necessary. Last week I gave you an assignment, and I hope that you fulfilled it, reading Revelation chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 19 about worship. This week I want you to read Romans chapter 12. Write it down, Romans chapter 12, and read the first 8 verses. When you read it, here's what I want you to prayerfully ask God. God, what would you have me do? You can't read it without asking that. I suppose you could, but it wouldn't do you much value. Lord, what would you have me do? You say that you have made a body and we're members in particular. What would you have me do? Where can I serve in Calvary Baptist Church? You know, every member matters. Today, some of you need to say, this is it. This is for me. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to plug in. I'm going to unite with this church. I'm going to move from attending to participating. I want to put my hand to the plow with the team and move forward together. Some of you, you are already members. But how well are you functioning? Are you really actively serving? Or are you just coming and not plugging in? We need you. We need you. Marines say, well, they just need a few good men. Spiritually speaking, Calvary Baptist Church needs you. Will you plug in? Father, I thank you today for your love for us. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. Every member matters. You taught us in this passage that every physical part of our being is necessary. From the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, every organ is necessary. And now, Father, every member here at Calvary Baptist Church is necessary. We're a necessary part of the whole. When one is missing, we hurt. When one is inactive, we hurt. We need everybody to be on board and be actively engaged. And so, Father, how I pray this morning that you would touch hearts, that you would work in hearts. Help people to be obedient. For those today who need to say, I'm just not going to be an attender, I'm going to be a participant, that you'd move them from that vantage point. Help them, Father, for others to say, this is where I'm going to plant my feet, right here at Calvary Baptist Church. I've been saved, I've been baptized, and now I want to become a member of this church and use my gifts and my talents here, move in their hearts. For those, again, who are members but haven't been active in serving, convict them. Challenge them to re-engage. We need everyone. in this day and age in which we live, we need everyone to do something, to do their part. We need them to use their gifts and their talents for the betterment of the whole. So again, convict them, challenge them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together as Sister Sherry begins to play through this morning. You need to respond to what you have heard through God's Word this morning. Say, you know, today I'm going to step out. I'm going to become a necessary part of the whole. I want to become a member of Calvary Baptist Church. I don't want to just attend. I want to become a member and plant my feet here. Won't you come? It may be today you are a member, but you just really haven't been plugged in. Today, say, Lord, I want to respond to you. I want to become plugged in. I really want to use my gifts and talents here at Calvary Baptist Church. Won't you respond today? Let the Lord use you. It's more blessed to give than to receive. She plays through one more verse. God dealing in your heart, won't you respond? Amen, amen. Well, I trust that this week that you will spend time reading Romans 12 and just present your body to the Lord and say, Lord, let me be used of you. And He will definitely open that door of opportunity for you.